Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate as four of our baptized members make their profession of faith and become communicant members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're also today beginning a new sermon series for the month of May on the church. Now, the church can refer to a number of things. For instance, it can refer to a worship service. What time is church? It can refer to this building. We call this building a church because it's where the church meets. It can refer to a specific congregation like St. Matthew Lutheran Church, or it can refer to a denomination like our denomination. We belong to the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and all those are appropriate. But when Jesus talks about the church, he's specifically talking about something else. Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church." Singular, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus didn't begin a denomination. He did not begin a congregation. He began the church. And the definition of the church is all people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Like Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the church is all those who are saved, all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Whatever congregation, whatever denomination, either, whether they're members of a congregation or not, if they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they are members of the one Christian church, the one true church. Now, a defining characteristic of the church is that we love God's Word, the Holy Bible. And I want to share with you three things we as the Church of Jesus love to do. We love to hear God's word, we love to study God's word, and we love to apply God's word to our lives. So let's start with number one. The church loves to hear God's word. We're focusing on 2 Timothy 3, which says, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So 2 Timothy is the second letter that we have where Paul writes to encourage young pastor Timothy. Paul loves Timothy like a father loves his son. And in Philippians, he calls Timothy his son in the faith. Timothy has a strong faith, and Paul reminds Timothy where that faith comes from. It was handed down to him by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They were both women who were strong in their faith, and they shared the scriptures with him at an early age. By hearing God's word, Timothy also became a believer. Notice it says, the sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It is God's word that creates and sustains our faith. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, the four of you, Lyra, Eli, Jordan, and Boston, you have a similar story to Timothy. All of you have faithful parents and other family members who have shared God's word with you. You've heard God's word from them. Your parents brought you into God's kingdom through the waters of holy baptism. They brought you to worship in God's house so that you can hear God's word on a regular basis. They brought you to Sunday school and to confirmation class so you can further study God's word. So all four of you have great examples, like Timothy did, of how to live and share your faith with others. The church, well, we love to hear God's word. It's what we do as disciples of Jesus. We continue to come to God's house so that we can hear God's word and participate in the sacraments, which are the visible word of God. We need to continue to hear God's word because our faith is under attack. Our faith continues to be attacked by our enemies, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. The devil and his fellow demons are always around. They are liars. They are always trying to bring false doctrine to us. They are always trying to keep us away from the word of God, always lying to us about God's word, and trying to undermine our faith in God's word. As for the world, well, the world is constantly pressuring us, right? Constantly wants us to conform to its current version of reality. I say current version because the world, on a regular basis, pretty much yearly, changes its morals and its values. From the world's point of view, things that were moral 10 years ago are now immoral, Things that were immoral 10 years ago in our culture are now considered moral and virtuous. Next year, it will change again. The morals of this world are constantly changing, but God's word and God's truth do not change. God's word is the same. The Ten Commandments, which God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, have been around and been true for the past 3,400 years. God's word doesn't change like shifting shadows. Our morality doesn't change. The truth does not change. We need to know our enemies, the devil, the world, and of course our own sinful nature that wants to indulge ourselves instead of loving God and loving people like the Bible tells us to do. Although we know our enemies, we don't need to be afraid of them. Instead, we can be strong and courageous in the Lord. Why? Because he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than any of our enemies. As we continue to hear God's word, the Holy Spirit continues to strengthen us and keep us in that one true faith until life everlasting. But hearing God's word is only the beginning. Beyond hearing God's word, we as the church also love to study God's word. Second Timothy, point number two, study. The Holy Christian Church studies God's word. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Here at St. Matthew, we don't just hear God's word, we study God's word. Yes, we gather around on Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings to hear God's word, but we also gather together on Sunday mornings and other times to do Bible study, to study God's word. To study something means to devote time and attention to it. What is more worthy of our time and attention than the scriptures? Nothing is more important for our time and attention than the Bible. Why? Well, first of all, two reasons. First of all, it is God's word. It is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. The Bible is more than a book. It's not some book written by some random guy who wanted to tell you what you should think about God and morality. It's actually a small library of 66 different books. 66 books written by 40 different human authors, all from different walks of life, including kings, sheep herders, physicians, fishermen, even former IRS agents. It was written in three different languages on three different continents over a period of about 1,500 years. That's why the Bible is not like any other book in all of history. It tells, even though it has so many different human authors, it is in complete agreement on some of the most controversial topics in human history. And it tells one complete story from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end. How is that possible? How can the Bible, written over a 1,500-year span, be so unified? Well, because the real author of the Bible is not those 40 men, rather it is God, the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The Bible is not just a book, it is God's inspired, inerrant word. We study it first and foremost because it is God's word, and that's all we need to know. But the second reason we study it is also found here in 2 Timothy 3:16, because it is profitable, because it is useful, because it's really practical and helpful. It is useful for our everyday life. The Bible wasn't written for our entertainment. It wasn't written just to give us good stories. It wasn't written just to keep us busy. God wrote the Bible to help us. First of all, the most important way it helps us is what last 2 Timothy 3:15 says. It makes us wise for salvation. But it doesn't just make us wise for salvation, it makes us wise for living our everyday life. And of course, it is the best book on relationships ever written. It helps us to do what we're made to do, and that is to love God and to love people. It is profitable, useful, practical in every way. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God commanded Joshua to always have his word, the Bible, on his lips and in his heart. God wanted him to know it well. Then he says, if you do it, if you put it into practice, you'll be prosperous and successful. All of us start out as hearers of God's word. I encourage all of you, confirmands, children, and adults, take the next step. Don't just be a hearer, be a student of God's word. Read, meditate, study, learn the scriptures. As confirmands, you went from hearers of God's word to students of God's word, and I encourage you to continue studying God's word. Keep coming to Youth Bible Study with Greg on Sunday mornings. For adults, I encourage you to come to Sunday morning Bible class. If you're interested in a small group Bible study, let Greg or myself know. Don't be hearers of God's word only, be students of God's word as well. Lifelong students of the Bible. Devote your time and attention to it because that's who we are as the church. We love to hear God's word. We love to study God's word. And third of all, the church loves to apply God's word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, studying the Bible is not just an intellectual exercise. God gave us his word so that it might change our lives. Don't just study God's word, put it into practice. Apply it to your life. The Bible is useful, profitable for training in righteousness. Why? So the man or woman of God might be equipped for every good work. We're God's masterpieces created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance. It's what we're made for. We're made to do good works. What are they? Well, Jesus tells us that all the commandments can be summed up into two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does God want us to do? Love God and love people. How do we love God? By keeping his commandments. By doing what he tells us to do. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. In 1988, a shoe company came up with the most iconic tagline of all time. It brought huge success to the shoe company and changed American company. The shoe company was a company called Nike, and the tagline was, just do it. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Don't just talk about it, do it. The idea of just do it didn't originally come from Nike. I think it goes all the way back to the Bible. It comes from James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Jesus and James tell us, just do it. Put what you learn into practice. Don't be hearers of the word or mere students of the word. Be doers of the word as well. Why? Because the church centered around God's word. We love to hear God's word, which is able to make us wise for salvation. We love to study God's word. It is the most practical book we can possibly read. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we do it. We put God's word, we apply God's word to our life, putting it into practice in our lives so that you and I and all the people of God might be equipped to do every good work. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.